for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to Light on Living. I'm your host, Lisa Berry, giving you reasons to feel good. I love that, feeling good. And it's funny that we're talking about resistance because you don't feel that great when you think about that. But it's when you get through the resistance and get to resilience that really that fun part of life goes and the flow. But as we are really digging into the layers of resistance, because this is our third week, we are in week number three, and we're bringing on the next two co-authors from the series Your Shift Matters, I love that, Resistance to Resilience. Today is an extra special day because we not only have just the two co-authors, but we have the publisher, the creator, the founder of this whole idea, and who's been bringing this and who really said, oh my goodness, we need to bring this to the world because I'll tell you, resistance can come in so many forms. And if you guys read the post this morning, today, I mean, it goes on and on. But both of these lovely co-authors double whammied us in their chapters. I was almost like, hey, that's not fair. We just got through one problem. What, you're bringing another one? And so let me just, I'm going to interest you today. Right now, we've got on the line, it's Dana Zarcone. And she's actually the publisher and the co-author of multiple novels. But I'm going to give you the full rundown. Dana is passionate about guiding her clients so they can live all in and full out, step into their power, and enjoy epic success in life and business. She accomplishes this by helping her clients make significant shifts in their lives through coaching and making those shifts matter by publishing their stories so they can inspire others. And I'm going to stop at the moment there just to say thank you for that, because if it wasn't for people who really recognize the value of other people's stories, like Dana, then we wouldn't get help. So following a successful 24-year corporate career, Dana earned her master's in community counseling. She's a national board certified counselor, certified core energetics practitioner, and a certified energy healer and coach. Dana integrates neuroscience, quantum physics, kinesiology, and psychology to show her clients what is truly possible. Through her broad range of education, research, and experience, Dana has developed a novel approach that has helped hundreds of clients make measurable, not that word, positive shifts in their lives. Dana provides local and virtual services that include experiential workshops, training classes, and individual and group coaching. In addition, she's a highly sought-after motivational speaker, 4 times international number one best-selling author and publisher, and host of Your Shift Matters podcast. Welcome, Dana.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here with you.
Oh, I'm really, really excited to have you. I remember from the first time we spoke, I thought, you just care so much about people's experiences, knowing that it's not just something that happens. You can use those to help shine the light for other people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with your resistance, you had a lot of resistance. And I will tell you, of all the chapters, and they're all amazing, yours took me by surprise because you led with this really, really powerful resistance. And just when I got my stomach all settled and was feeling good, then you went, oh, but it wasn't over. And then something else big happened. And I went, no. So, when, like, 24 years in the corporate world, and I mean, you have to run a business anyways this way, but what is the, what would you say the resistance, how you look at resistance has changed?
Well, you know, it's really about how we choose to live our lives, right? We can live contracted in a state of resistance. And I even would say resistance is a synonym of fear, living in fear, where we're just so hesitant to really express our full selves, our full authentic selves. And lots of times I think we go through life where we're not only afraid to express ourselves to others because of fear of rejection, of getting abandoned, not being loved, not being accepted, all those kinds of things. But I think we get to a point where we also don't allow ourselves to see how amazing that we are, because we've now just played a part of how we want people to see ourselves. And then we just wind up living that same way, right? We kind of, we put a mask on and we start to identify with our own mask. And then we forget how amazing that we really are. And it's about helping us shed that light on our genuineness, our just true light of our authentic higher selves that we can bring out into the world. And that's when we're in our genius, right? That's when we go from being resistant to being resilient and living in really in balance with who we really are and what we're capable of being in this world.
The balance is actually, I think, what you just jumped out at me, because you do have to have some resistance so you can become resilient. And there is a very delicate balance of that, because if you go too heavily on one side, have too much contraction and hesitancy that you said, then how do we get to that resilient part? What do you think is, like, I mean, let's just go to the first big toughy one with you. And a lot of people have this. It's, well, to me, what jumped out is not, I don't want to ruin the story in the chapter for everybody. So there's family ties issues, like, you know, distance between family members. And that's a tough one, because it's almost like you don't get to make that decision all by yourself. Another person's a part of that resistance. How does one handle that? Like what you were doing when there becomes a big wedge between family?
You know, I think that, first of all, the one thing that's so interesting is that no family is normal. There is no sense of a normal family. I've grown to really, you know, a lot of times I adore other people's families, thinking, wow, they're all so close. But there's always dynamics. There's always things going on underneath. You know, there's a current and complexity in every family. And I think the thing that I've learned is to really, it kind of goes back to the Stephen Covey, right? You have your circle of control, your circle of influence, and you have outside of that where you can't do either. You can't control it, you can't influence. And in those situations, you just have to let go and let God. You have to hold them in love and light, send them love, send them compassion, and know that eventually, when the time is right, they will step into that circle of influence. And hopefully you can have discussion and eventually step back into this circle of control where you can make a meaningful connection and try to rebuild from there. You know, it's just so important. But it's so easy if things aren't being discussed and things are being swept under the rug, and you do have that resistance, you do have the resentment and those kinds of things, and they're not being discussed, you can't fix it unless you're willing to bring things to light, you know?
That's actually huge. This is going to go deeper now, because, you know, there's one thing when we talk, you're saying about the mask. We've created a life and what we want people to see us as, and then we live it just like that. And we're not telling, I don't think we're telling people, like, just rip the mask off and go for it. But it's more about what you just said about having discussions and conversations, because we're not telling people just to jump. You know, we're trying to inspire them to start with an open heart and rebuild. You use the word rebuilding, actually, when it comes to relationships, and that's even with our own selves. Did you have to rebuild in that part with your brother and family members? Was it more that you were rebuilding something with yourself even, or was it seriously just waiting, not waiting, but being there when the time was right for if the situation happened, that people would come together again?
I think it was just being there. And I think, you know, part of this, you know, so to shed some light with our listeners, was just, you know, part of my contribution to my book was that, you know, I hadn't talked to my brother in a couple of years, and he just literally cut me off and stopped talking. And I never knew why, never knew what I did. And I'd even say, if I did something to upset you, I can't fix it unless you'll have a conversation with me to tell me what I did. I can't apologize if I don't know what I did, you know. So it's, I was so desperate to hold myself accountable for however, wherever it was that I dropped the ball or where I hurt him or, you know, those kinds of things. But he didn't give me the space to hold me accountable. And at one point when I finally did reunite with him in July of last year, you know, I asked him, you know, what was it? And he said, you know what, don't worry. He goes, I have to be honest with you, it was me. It was all me.
Aww.
It was really nothing about you. So I never did really know. And now, you know, since he's passed, I'll never know why he wasn't talking to me. But when he did say, don't worry about it, it wasn't you, it was me, you know.
Yeah.
And for me to just surrender and know that, okay, if you're not going to talk to me, I'm just going to continue to love you. And I'm going to pray that eventually we'll get past this and we'll get through this and we'll reconnect. And thank God we reconnected when we did, because, you know, as I say in my book, you know, I reconnected with him that July. And then I saw him one other time after that when he was seriously, seriously ill, literally on his deathbed, and I never saw him again because he passed away.
And that's why I thought the double whammy just got in there, and that is so powerful. There are so many people who I actually have people in my life who have stepped out of my life, and I really don't, not a lot of them, it's not like rampant here, but there, and I think, gosh, what did I do? What did I know? It could drive me crazy. But I think, well, I did kind of chalk it up to, okay, well, it's obviously something about them, because they if they're the ones who don't want to share that, it is them, then, you know, in that weird mm-hmm. way of saying, like, you can't change that. And that's a big thing for you, yourself, when you, that was your brother, and for not knowing, I love that you said you were, like, just determined to hold yourself accountable for this, desperate to hold yourself accountable. And that's a lot, I think a lot of us, what we do, because we want to make it better. And so
right.
when you stepped into that holding place of just letting go, surrendering to, okay, and thank goodness you did get a little bit of consolation there when you were just saying, okay, it was me. Sometimes, like your brother, that was big of him to say that, because sometimes those people in that situation that your brother was, they don't even say that. Like, they don't know mm-hmm. it. They don't know it's them.
Right. Yep. And it was a huge gift to get him to say that.
Yeah. And it changes the balance. And so when the peace that you have with him passing, did that obviously help? That was the gift of it, and the gift of knowing it. But then once everything was all, okay, you've got this, you know, you feel like you had at least that conversation and that time with your brother, and then you were able to say goodbye in that at least better way than the other way, you yourself actually went through a huge struggle with your own life and just fell, just passed down, just that's it, I give up kind of thing. What was your quote unquote falling down and just fainting and passing out, the surrender or the overwhelm?
No, and I think that, you know, the his passing was a big thing for me, because it really, last year it happened first place. I lost a dog unexpectedly. I mean, everybody I've lost, I was very close to last year. So my dog, I took her in for a well visit. I wound up putting her down that day. Brother passed unexpectedly, very quickly. I had a friend who I took to the grocery store a week prior, and then a week later they found her dead on her bedroom floor.
Oh.
I mean, and then my uncle passed away unexpectedly. I have so many unexpected deaths that weren't, we would have no idea they were going to happen. And it really just put me in a position where I was able to look back and think, wow, life is so darn short. This is like, you know, we take each day, each breath for granted. We get so wrapped up in the dynamics of our struggle and our vision and, you know, all this kind of stuff that we forget sometimes to just be so grateful for every day we have, every breath we take, every interaction we have with our kids, our spouses, our family, our friends. And it just really, really hit me home really good last year about, whoa. And it's funny, because it wasn't until the holidays where I really started to feel very, like, I felt like I was going through this downward spiral. And people say, oh, my God, you went through so much loss. And I said, and I realized after a while that it wasn't the loss itself. I wasn't grieving the loss. I was contracting. I was shutting down, because I felt, if I shut down and just freeze, then life won't find me and it won't happen to me. I became just completely petrified that I could go at any time. I could go at any minute, any day. And I really contracted and shut down to like I was hiding. If I just hide, life can't find me and take me away from my daughters. You know, and it was interesting to go through that process and realize that it wasn't me grieving over their death. It was me now living in fear that could happen to me too. And then it's like, wait a minute, I'm living in fear when there's so much life to live. I'm doing exactly the opposite of what I would tell my clients to do. Go out, embrace life, grab the bull by the horns, grab every single day, every breath, and celebrate it with everything you've got, and be so glad that you're here. And when you do that, you have to celebrate. You're no longer in resentment. You're no longer in fear. You're no longer feeling, you know, in withholding. You're celebrating life, and you're being present with everybody, every day, every breath.
Oh, my gosh. I love it. That's very empowering what you said, and so true. When we get so contracted, I love what you said, life won't find me. Maybe if I do this, life won't find me, because that's what life is, a constant change. Like the resistance are so crazy pants, what can happen. Look at all the authors that you've chosen. They each have a different resistance that they've had to become resilient from. And that word unexpected, that's actually a scary word. I think a lot of people think, no, I wasn't prepared. I didn't plan. I'm not ready. Don't do it.
Right.
And then you made me think of a question. I'm popping this right on here. Expected versus, okay, contracted would be like, no, let me hide. I'm pulling away. I don't want to be involved or putting up walls, that kind of thing. And what about the opposite, when people are just saying yes all over the place and giving away their power? That can be very a resistance as well, because they're not stepping, when you say stepping into your power, so if you were to talk to your clients and you said, you know what, let's live a life you truly love and step into your power. What is that? Mm-hmm. Can you define that? That's a big question.
Well, first of all, I want to clarify too, saying yes to life doesn't mean you're giving your power away. You say yes to life because you want to live, and you're going to embrace every single moment in truth, in reality, and in accountability, and be responsible. So the things about like our experiences are, one thing I always tell in my signature talks and everything I do with my clients is, your experience is just an experience. It's neutral. It doesn't have a positive or negative effect on you until you assign some meaning to that experience, right? And you make that experience mean something. And then you have the thoughts and feelings that are attached to that meaning that ultimately leads to the outcome, right? About something being negative, positive, and all those kinds of things. And when you're empowered, you are able to make choices from a place of truth, of groundedness, of connectedness to your higher self and to spirit, and truth of who you know you are and who you can be. And you make choices and decisions from there. That's power. That's being empowered. Mm-hmm. And you say yes to life, and saying yes to life could mean you're saying no to that opportunity. You're saying no to something. But you're saying yes to the power that you have to make that decision.
Oh, my gosh. Let me highlight that, and then we'll go to commercial. But you're saying yes to the power to make that decision. Is that what you just said? Yes to the power to make that
decision. Yes. You say yes to life. And you're yes to the power to choose. Yes. To the power to choose.
Yes, I love that. I love that. That was a super clarifying moment. We have to think of commercial in like 10 seconds, but that is huge. Let's come back to that. Say yes to the power to make the decision and choose. Okay.
Exactly.
Two minutes, everyone. All right.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I can't really be that worthless. I can't really be that stupid, weak, fearful, unlovable. I just really can't be that broken. Wow. Those beliefs have slammed the door shut on my heart, stopping me from stepping into my greatness. Does this sound all too familiar to you? What if those beliefs aren't true? What if those false beliefs are creating resistance and blocking you from your own success, your power, and your happiness? What if you could break down the walls of doubt and rise from resistance to resilience? Well, now you can. Just like 11 other women overcame impossible odds with courage, strength, and determination. The truth is, your shift matters, and you're not alone. And others share their story to help guide you along your freeing experience to confidence, joy, and love. Tune into Light on Living's Your Shift Matters series to hear from 8 of the 11 co-authors of the number one bestseller on Amazon, Your Shift Matters, Resistance to Resilience, compiled by Dana Zarcone. Get your copy, read their stories, then join us as we get to experience their inspiring words personally.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm so glad that you're able to join us today. I'm your host, Lisa Berry, and we are with right now, we're still with Dana Zarcone. We're going to be bringing on another beautiful, wonderful author. But Dana is actually the publisher of Your Shift Matters, Resistance to Resilience. She's an author as well. She's a coach. She's a speaker. She's just everywhere. I love it. And that's why she really has something to say. But the fact that I'm so excited to ask you this question, because you are the publisher, you round up these stories that really mattered. And did you have to interview people, the authors? How many people did you interview before going to print with this book and to say, okay, this is a good story, this is going to help teach people? Like, what were the criteria?
You know, I really focus on what they feel like they're drawn to do. Like, lots of times people say, oh, my God, I don't know what I'll write about. And they ultimately get to the point where they say, wow, which story should I tell? And the whole Your Shift Matters brand started because so many people, you know, feel like they can just push an easy button, pop a pill, and all of a sudden they're going to be happy and their life's going to change. And it really is about, you know, you have to deal with your shit in order to make a shift. So Your Shift Matters was born through that kind of fundamental foundation and belief that I have. And, you know, it just comes from working on my own self and working with my clients and stuff. And it became so apparent working with my clients about how many people suffer in silence and feel so alone. They feel that whatever problem they're going through, nobody else understands, and, you know, those kinds of things. And by allowing people to share their stories, either through my podcast, being interviewed with me, through their stories that they share in my books, it really is all about shedding light on a struggle that they went through. And in my Your Shift Matters books, I always keep it very high level. So it's always like there's been breakdown to breakthrough, surviving to thriving, resistance to resilience. I keep it high enough level because I want my authors to choose what story do they feel like they want to share with the world that will inspire the reader. So when people read their story, they go, oh, my God, I've been through that. I understand it. Oh, my God, if she made it, if she went from rock bottom to rock star, I can too. Right? I can do this too. And I also find in these books, what's been really powerful about it, not only for me in my own writing in these books, but for the authors, it never fails at the end. They always say what an absolute healing experience it's been for them, because when you have to sit down with pen and paper, it's all of a sudden you're writing your story. And I always tell them, I said, when you're at that keyboard or you're with your pen and paper and you start to cry, that's when you know you're nailing it. You know, they're nailing it not only for the reader, but they're nailing it because they're processing and they're in their hearts and they're putting their vulnerability in their story. And it has truly changed so many lives. It's been just huge. It's just been amazing.
You know, and that's a beautiful thing to highlight. It's that it isn't just for the reader. The writer, when they're going through it, yes, they have to they're reliving the details because they want to bring up to share them. But it's not about to put them back into victimhood or to sadness.
No.
And everything. It literally is to process, and that's the difference. It's because there is a turnaround. And do you remember when they came out with on TV? Like, I don't know how many decades ago this first one, but Rags to Riches. You know, and they mm-hmm. did it, and you watch
yep.
people go from literally the dumps of life to the most luxurious abundance. You know, abundance. And with do you have another one coming up? Another book that you're planning?
I'm in the process right now of searching for authors for my next book. Again, it's about sharing your story. Some people come to me because they really want to leave a legacy. They want to put their story in writing and be published. Other people do it because they want to build a business and they want the credibility and the visibility. It gives them a product to sell to their clients and to give away at, you know, events and that kind of stuff. It gives them the visibility and the PR opportunities because they can do book signings. They all come to me to write their story for different reasons. But yeah, so I am filming my next book, and it's great because all of my books have hit number one in all three categories. So far, the winning streak of number one has not been broken, knock on wood. Hopefully it stays that way.
What are the three categories again?
Well, it depends. Each book I choose different categories. These are the three categories for Amazon. So I have my own system that I've created that helps me to do a deep dive and figure out what categories I can put us in that will increase our chances of becoming number one best-selling author. So like Maria, the other non-US-based authors that you are interviewing and that are in these books, they've become number one international best-selling authors, which is great. It's just huge.
Yes. That is. And, you know, when you've gone through something and you're reliving your story and you're sharing that, it's really nice to have that kind of celebration that feels like, you know, like it's like you're congratulations, celebration. And you think, oh, it has even more value, that resilience, that part of it. Before I want to ask this one thing, because you do still take on clients, like you still coach them and you still work with them. Is there any time of someone's life where they can recognize, you can help them to recognize right now, they're at a point where, yes, they do need to reach out for help? Like, how does one know when they're ready to open up and heal and help?
You know, I always say that people are ready to reach out and get the help they need when they can't take it any longer. And I don't mean take it any longer like they're about to commit suicide. When they decided enough is enough and they are just stuck, and they don't want to be stuck anymore, but it's such a conscious decision, right? We live our life on autopilot so much and so much by default instead of by design that we have to get to the point where we go, oh my God, something has to change. I just realized I can't remember the last time I really, truly laughed. I feel alone. I don't have friends. Like, they feel they need to move off dead center. And I'll tell you, I always tell people, you know, if you're aware of your life and you're truly honest with yourself, and you make a conscious decision to make that shift, do it sooner rather than later. Because like me, I wound up having a breakdown on a bathroom floor where I literally was begging God to bring me home. I'm so done. I can't take this anymore. This was years ago, and it really was my rock bottom moment. And people don't have to wait till they hit rock bottom. They have to just be conscious enough to know they're not happy and be willing to, you know, stand up, step in, and stand out and make the change they need to make. Because your life can't change unless you're willing to do it.
Yes, and that is the thing, is that even when somebody reaches out to have a coach, you're still doing it yourself. You're still, I love that story, just that one highlight. If right now somebody's listening and they're thinking, wow, I don't remember the last time I was proud of myself. I don't remember the last time I laughed. I don't remember the last time I reached out and had a good, you know, cup of tea and a good laugh with my girlfriends, or, you know, those kind of questions are really good to ask. I love that. And it is you doing the work. It is you becoming resilient. You're not alone. And I love that you said that part. That was a really big thing. If somebody were to either want to join your book, you know, co-authors teams, if they want to get coached by you or hire you to be a speaker, because you speak so beautifully, you have wonderful, loving things to say, well, how can they get a hold of you?
Best way to go to search my website, danazarcone.com, D-A-N-A-Z as in zebra, A-R-C-O-N-E.com. That's my website. It's being rebuilt right now, so this is kind of a placeholder for me right now, the website, so when they go to it. But there's a publishing tab there, so they can go look at the opportunity for becoming a co-author of my book. Also, I'm on Facebook, so people can certainly find me there. It's probably the best place.
Yes, yes. And what fun thing are you? So you're, and I'm gonna, because I'm gonna sadly have to say goodbye to you. But
yeah,
this can really be an opportunity when we share our stories. It really does free us, so we're not hiding and we are saying yes to life. And what would be that one thing for you to share with everybody? Obviously, I know it's dark, light, darkness to light, but what is the biggest difference when somebody really steps out from, gives them encouragement here from resistance, and they can expect to step in resilience? What that feels like.
Oh my gosh, you wake up every day and you really are willing to go, oh my God, I am celebrating today. I'm going to make today matter. Oh. It's like your shift matters, but make today matter. Make every moment matter. And that doesn't mean you have to be joyful all the time, because we get this in this mask of making it matter means I have to be happy all the time. That's not it. Making it matter because you're consciously grounded in the truth of who you are and all the infinite possibilities that lay in front of you if you're just willing to take the step and grab it. And take that step forward, one step at a time, you can get there, you know? We never, ever have to suffer. That's just the bottom line. If you're suffering, it's by choice.
Oh, I love that. Now, that was actually empowering right now. Well, thank you so much for, first of all, being our first guest of the third week, publisher and co-author Dana Zarcone. And we sadly have to say goodbye, but it means we can say happily to the next one. But I know you're going to zip off, so I want to say thank you and have a lovely day yourself.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate it. I hope anyone who is drawn to connect with me, please do so. I welcome everybody's open arms. So I appreciate it. Thanks so much, Lisa.
Oh, thank you, Dana. Bye. And
bye-bye.
With that, Dana's actually been the one who found and attracted and called to our wonderful co-author from Sweden. We have Maria Strack, and she says it much prettier than I do, by the way. Hi, Maria.
Hi, Lisa. Thank you for having me.
Oh, we're just so happy. You know, this, I'm not sure if you, I think you got to catch all of that. There's just so much empowerment in an easy, flowing way that we're just on a roll here. And if I may, I'd love to share about who you are and your story with everybody by reading your bio, and then we'll jump right in. Okay, Maria?
Yes, please.
Okay. Well, Maria has first of all, she's from Sweden. We love that. Maria has a master's of behavioral science and education in psychotherapy. Her field of expertise is energy psychology. Maria is the founder of Remember, that's Remember, an all-inclusive healing modality. Her deep commitment to life has taken healing beyond time and space and includes her clients' ancestors, previous lifetimes, and other dimensions. She has more than 15 years' experience of facilitating healing for people globally. Maria appreciates life to the fullest and lives in contagious flow. I love that, as a natural part of everyday life. She open-heartedly speaks light language. That's with a capital L and capital A language, a method of speaking and singing that connects us to our heart. As often as possible, Maria walks barefooted to be in direct contact with the earth. And I love that that's there, because I right now am in bare feet in our minus 40 here. And I just love it. Hello, Maria.
Yeah. Wow. Wonderful to be here to connect with you and your audience.
Oh, yes. You have such an interesting bio. I mean, your story alone was interesting, but then when you read that, because I just have to highlight it, I mean, it sounds all like so different. We're talking healing beyond space and time and ancestors.
Yeah, and actually, all healing are beyond time and space, because we can go back to childhood and heal events, and we can... as easy as that is, it's as easy to go back in the line of ancestors and heal emotional wounds even there and to other lifetimes.
Yes, and so I'm jumping right in here. So when we say we are living our lives and we're not very conscious, we're just every day, and we're miserable, and we think life sucks, and it's being, you know, we feel like we're a victim and the world isn't fair. You're saying and believing that maybe it's not this lifetime, it could be from before.
Yeah, it can be from another lifetime or from something that your ancestors has been through that has stuck emotions in it. And then we can go over there and to release those emotions and to heal the wounds.
Right. And is it just because they sent it along our way, or that they just haven't healed? And so that energy is in that vibration of our world.
Yeah. The vibration is still in the system that we are part of and the ancestors are part of. So in that context, the time and space doesn't matter, because when the energy is still there of the wounds, then we can feel it like something we can hear. We can hear our neighbors talk. It's similar to that.
Ah, yes. Actually, I live somewhere where sometimes I can hear my neighbors, and it's not very, you know, sometimes they're not very nice, and it really affects me. And so I can only imagine the line. Now, if you could share with us a little bit about how your story all started with this. Have you always felt that you could tap into this healing modality, or did something happen that was very unique?
Yeah, it started about 18 years ago when I got a burnout, that we say here in Sweden, got the fatigue.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then I really, really needed to start to look at my life. How have I handled things that have come up? And I could, after a while, see that I was not that good at handle emotions.
Ah.
I've been very good at eating right and exercising and sleeping during the night and things like that. But I had actually no clue about what to do with the emotions. So I had just suppressed them as I had been taught to do during my childhood. And then I needed really, really to look at the emotions and see how can I handle them in another way that is empowering for me instead of being sick by them.
Right. You know, that's so, I think a lot of people will, thank you for even highlighting that, okay, yes, you're eating healthy, you're exercising, you're getting your sleep. And so one could be in that position and think, I'm fine, I'm not stressed, I'm healthy. But then they look at some of the things that are conditions in their lives and the results, and they go, yeah, but then why this? My question, so if 18 years ago, suddenly you had this awareness that you didn't know about your emotions and how to deal with them, how does one go from not hearing something to hearing it and then wanting to listen to it?
Yeah, that is very interesting, because my body just told me that I had to listen, because I have had severe asthma allergies since my teens, and I've been so allergic, so I couldn't be close to anyone that had hair from animal on their clothes even. So I was very, very allergic to animals. So I started to withdraw from people because I was allergic all the time. And then I got this burnout and I was at home and I was still allergic. And that was new to me, because when I had been at home before, I have always felt very well. And here was the asthma almost 24 hours around the clock. So I was really, really disturbed of the asthma, and medicines didn't work any longer. So it was kind of creepy to have this feeling that I couldn't get air into my body.
Yes.
So that's when I heard my massage therapist say that your body is talking to you. And that was so interesting, because I had never heard anyone say anything like that.
Right.
So I listened to what she said, and then I had her words with me for a couple of days, and then I started to really ponder over it. What does it mean that my body talks to me? What is it? And then I started to play with it and see. When I felt that the asthma got worse, I started to look around and see what might my body want to say to me. And then I could look at the situation and see that it would have created some emotional response within me, but it didn't. So I just told me that, I have this around me and it makes me sad. So I started to make the emotions conscious. Even though I couldn't feel them, I could figure out with my brain that I should have felt sadness or stress or disappointment. So I started to translate my body every time when I felt asthma was worse. I started to just look around, what is happening and how should I be feeling?
Okay, so I have a question about this one, just to, I really want to unfold this. And first of all, I want to say I felt so sad when, oh my gosh, I forgot those commercials.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. When we're back, I have those huge, super undo questions.
Yes.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Enjoy passive income benefits while creating a cottage experience for others. From a relaxing getaway to connecting with nature, sitting around flickering campfire light, dipping in cool, refreshing waters, strengthening your body with biking, hiking, boating, and swimming. And you have the cottage that could be a part of all of those memories while earning you money. Financial abundance as a thank you for renting your cottage. Become a cottage rental owner today, safely and supported. RentCottage.com.
Keyboard Cat, Hamilton the Pug, and Toast Meets World. These are some of the internet's most beloved pets, and they all have one thing in common. Their stories started in a shelter. Start your story. Adopt a dog or cat today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Training that pet to play the keyboard, that's optional. Start a story. Adopt a shelter or rescue pet today. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Alrighty, we are back. And you know what happens is that I have so much fun. Lisa Berry, your host here, I have so much fun with all these guests that sometimes I just forget we have commercials. So I apologize, Maria. And that is exactly who we are speaking with right now. It's Maria Strapp, if I want to say it correctly. And actually, you say your name because it's so much fun when you say it.
Yeah, it is Maria Strapp.
No, see, you're way more fun. Yep. Okay. Well, you just really brought up something so interesting to me about emotions. And I really can imagine so many people, we all have emotions. I mean, they're there, but are we listening to them? Are we aware? And that's my one question. Your first emotion that came to you that helped you was sadness. And so say you, Maria, you're sad. Did you just ever before not acknowledge it, or were you just weren't sad when you were sad, or what happened to the actual honest going on sadness that you weren't doing before?
Yeah, that's a very good question, because I had a lot of sadness when I was 11 and my mother very suddenly passed away. And my father told me after one day that I had to stop crying. And he did that because he couldn't handle my emotions and he couldn't handle his emotions. So I understood that as an adult that it was like that for him. But then it was just my father that were very harsh and told me, gave an order to stop crying. So I had a lot of cry that I had just stuck away.
Right. So all of the people who, you know, something bad happens to them or sad or hard, and if we don't have a type of healing process or processing, it goes somewhere. And so you're saying that it goes in.
Yeah, it's still in the system. The emotions are still there within you, and when often they give you some physical challenges later on to remind you that you have something that is unhealed that you can look at and heal.
Right, a friendly reminder.
Yeah.
So in your case, as you said, you had asthma, and I thought that was very sad that you couldn't have animals around you, because I mean they're so healing, by the way, too, and so accepting and loving.
Yeah, they are.
And so, and you didn't have it. So, why would your body, let's say, go with asthma, and say my body might go with arthritis? I don't know. you know, what?
Yeah. What I think that is our biological condition that decides what we get. So it can be a headache, or it can be, like you said, some problems with the joints, or it could be blood sugar problems or blood pressure. Or I think it has to do with our design, genetic design of our body.
Okay. And now when that comes up, let's say people do get migraines or have blood sugar issues. Is it your belief, or like, is this what you help people do? We sit down with our bodies and we say, all right, there, migraine, what are you trying to tell me? Is that what we should be doing?
I usually ask them how their life has looked, and we are looking for unhealed emotions and traumas, and then we go to those events and we heal them, and often, very, very often, the body feels much more lighter, and it starts to heal.
It just
and
kind
if
of...
that is not enough, we can start to look at the. Sometimes there are benefits to have a physical issue, and it sounds a little bit strange with the word benefit. It can be like when I had when the asthma started. When I look back at it, it has a very useful meaning to protect me, because I was not allowed to say that I was alone at home. So this asthma kept me from my friends, and then I couldn't say anything about it. So
it was your cover, like a cover.
Yes, and it was totally unconscious. I didn't figure this out before I got older, much older, that it had this protective mechanism in it,
yes,
to save me from dangerous things and from slipping my tongue and say something that I shouldn't.
Yes, it gave you that, and nobody could judge that. They haven't. We mostly, society has an acceptance level of ailments, of physical and health issues, and we kind of go, oh, they are allowed to separate from us, or like what you said, stay at home, you know, without friends around and stuff, if because of this asthma. And now, is it always, are all of our ailments and health issues emotions first?
Yeah, that is a very, very good question. It is. And if I say yes, many people will get very mad.
Yeah, I know.
When I look at it in my practice and the people that I meet, maybe 80 or 90% of the physical issues has something to do with emotions, and the rest of the percent has something, maybe nutrition or something like that, that they have to do.
Right.
I healed a lot of physical things within my own body, just with preparing the emotions and heal them and look at them, and also with my clients.
And I was going to ask you about your clients. This is so neat, because you work with clients globally. And has there been someone, because the book is new, your chapter is just out, has somebody read your chapter and then contacted you because they feel like they're resonating with you and then need some help from you because of it?
No, not yet. The book came out in...
No,
October.
So it is fairly new. But when your clients have reached out to you, do they ask about your story, or is it they just need help from this?
They just need help. Yeah.
Okay.
And sometimes they have read an article in a paper or something that has been written about how I work or some of my stories.
Right. You know, one story, and I'd love to ask this, because I got to read your chapter, and yes, it was very helpful and very, it's enlightening, because it gives you hope. And you had to deal with something very traumatic. So here you are, you're working away, you're listening to your emotions, you've healed your asthma, and then you have a really big, I don't want to call it an incident, something happened with your own daughter. And I would love for you to share the severity of that, but the way you handled it, do you believe it's because you were able to listen to the emotions and give them a space to do what they needed to do?
Yeah. I work so much with clients, and I see how they are affected by stressful events that happen in their lives. And now this story is about a stressful event with my daughter. That is, for me, it was just, I couldn't even imagine that something like that could happen.
Right.
So I was very conscious when it happened that, wow, this is such a stressful event. I really choose to deal with it right away so it doesn't get
right.
stuck in my system and in my body. So it was very good for me to be so familiar with, for example, EFT tapping, so I could use it right away
yeah.
on myself.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you said like that. Those two things are huge right now. So recognizing that something is a stressful event is number one. I'm going to say there, because if we don't recognize it's a stressful event and we try to say, oh, I can handle it, or it's nothing, or
yeah.
it's just life, it, like you said, it can get stuck and fester. So we do want to deal with it as soon as possible. And I just want to share with the listeners, Maria is somebody who was accused of, strongly accused of something that she was innocent of. And it's the kind of thing when you get accused of, it breaks your heart, but you don't want to get stuck in what somebody else is doing and why they've done it and everything. You want to deal with how you feel about it. Is that, am I correct in saying that? Is that
yeah.
what you, okay.
All the feelings and emotions that pops up in a situation like that, you can transform them into harmony very
right.
quickly, actually, when you do it when at the event, so it doesn't
at the event.
Hang around.
That's almost, I think that's what's coming up for me, because these are huge stressful events, and to say, okay, let's deal with them right away. I know one of my best friend, actually, whenever I speak with her, I call her, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it right now. And she's like, gosh, I don't know, like, you know, some people need to really think about it, plan it out and do it. And you do want to be proactive in your steps. But when that is that why when you're working with clients that happens so quickly, when you're healing them and working with them to heal themselves?
Sometimes they come very suddenly after something has happened, and then they heal often very quickly. And sometimes they come a long time after for something very stressful in their childhood. And they often heal kind of quickly as well, because when you use a method like EFT tapping, you tap on the emotions and you affect the energy system in the body, and that affects the physical body and the emotional body. And they actually heal kind of quickly, so it's fascinating to see. So it's an honor to work as a therapist in this way.
Right. Well, we're saying that because I know we will have to say goodbye, but how can people get a hold of you? Because even though you're in Sweden, you're like right here. You're right at the other end of this line, so anybody could reach out to you. So what's
yeah, we are happy for the internet.
Yes. Very.
So it's easy to find me on Facebook or on Skype, and my name is Maria, and it's spelled M-A-R-I-J-A, and my last name is Strat, S-T-R-A-T.
I still can't say that, my goodness, but you know what? It's okay, as long as they see you and,
yeah.
and can find you. And you're so lovely sounding. My question to you is, do you feel more joy in your life now that
yes.
from resistance to resilience?
Yes, I do. It was so nice to get these two stories on print and just release them. I feel that I have really released them from my system, and a little bit of shame that was left in one of the stories that I felt
yes.
it. Now it is totally transformed, so it feels so good.
Oh, and you know, I don't know what you sounded like before, but I can hear that. And I just feel like the people who are to pick up, you know, the book, read all the chapters, but when they do read yours, there is a lightness and a joyfulness. And I can, it almost is like, yes, you work with energy. Yeah, you can feel it.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Well, and so in just here in our final minute here, I want to say now we know how we can reach you and we can buy the book and everything. And if you were to have one tip for people if they're suffering right now in 30 seconds, if you can share, what would be your first step for them to do to reach out?
Contact someone that can help you easily to transform the emotions that that you feel and the thoughts, so you can, because we are peace. That is our true essence, peace and love. And everything else is just something that we experience, and that is not you.
You both mentioned that, and I want to close off with that one, is that, you know what, an experience is neutral. It's not you. It's we are peace. And I love that you said that. So if anybody would like right now to transform their emotion, I want you to reach out to Maria. And I just want to thank everybody for joining us. We have one more week to go and two more co-authors left. So, Maria, thank you so much for joining us all the way from Sweden, different time zone and everything.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure and a joy for me, Lisa. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. Actually, I think I would like to, I'm going to call you after. I think I'd like to work on some, I book an appointment with you. But for now, we'll say goodbye. And everybody, like I said, next week we have one more to go. Let's just keep transforming all of our resistant emotions into beautiful, resilient emotions.
Yes.
Okay, well, thank you, everyone. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.